God has rescued us from sin. I want to talk about that a little bit today. Brethren, what is the wave sheaf? I mean, are you familiar with that word, wave sheaf? Most of you know me. I surfed for 60 years, and I know waves, but what in the world is a wave sheaf? Let me take a few minutes to explain. I'm not going to take too long because I have a long sermonette. But what in the world is a wave sheaf? Now, if you look up a wave sheaf in your, we used to call them concordance, but now you have a telephone. You just go do-do-do, you know, and it tells you what a wave sheaf is. I don't have one of those, but let's go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 is where, in my Bible, right here, Leviticus 23 and verse 9, it talks about the wave sheaf. Leviticus 23, verse 9. The Eternal said to Moses, verse 10, speak to the Israelites, whoever they are, and say to them, when you enter the land... That's important. When you enter the land I'm going to give you, God is going to give it to them, and you reap its harvest. That's kind of interesting. When you enter the land that I'm going to give to you and you reap its harvest, who planted that? They didn't plant it. They didn't plant it. But God is going to give it to them, and you reap its harvest. Bring to the priest a sheaf, so that's something that's harvested, of the first grain you harvest. Verse 11, the priest is to wave the sheaf before the Eternal, so it, that sheaf, will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. And the Sabbath being referred to here is the weekly Sabbath. Okay? That's not in the scripture, but, you know, if we had an hour or two, you know, we could go through that and prove it, but we don't have to. But it's the weekly Sabbath that's being referred to. What is a sheaf of grain? Please raise your hand, and I'm serious about this. Raise your hand if you know what a sheaf is. Okay, there are two people in the back row. Don't come up here. I still have more to say. But unless you're a farmer, my mom was a farmer in Kansas. They raised wheat. They knew what a sheaf was. I don't know what a sheaf is. I have a garden. I have weeds in my garden. If God had said, raise the weeds and shake them around, I'd know what he was talking about. But a sheaf of grain is a particular thing. I said something else, but I have to say this. If you have one of those phones and you asked Alexa, or whatever your phone is called, what a sheaf of grain is, they would tell you. You don't need a Bible anymore. You know, all you need is your telephone. I see people out there using their telephones. They're using their telephones. Make sure I'm telling the truth. I am. But let's move along. Did I tell you what the title of this message is? No. Okay. The title of this message is Jesus is the Wave Sheaf. So if you want to know what a wave sheaf is, metaphorically, in Scripture, Jesus is the wave sheaf. And why was he that? He was the first human to die, be resurrected, and then return to his Father and continue life. Now, you and I, we can also die. Looking at me, you're saying, yeah, anytime now. But any of us can die, but we can be resurrected and we can be returned to life, and we can be given eternal life. That's the kind of life I want. I've lived a physical life, and I'm not complaining, and I don't want to check out anytime soon, but that's not the kind of life that I'm looking for. I'm looking for eternal life, and I believe it. We've been taught that, and I definitely believe it. But ancient Israel, back when they were taught to offer the wave sheaf, they didn't understand. They did not understand at that time. Do we? You know, and whenever I point at you, I'm pointing back at myself. Do we understand? Do we really understand the importance of the wave sheaf? We should. I want to read several more Old Testament scriptures, but before I do, I want to go to the New Testament so that you know that I know that too. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. You probably knew that already. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20 says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead." And you go, "Oh yeah, I've heard that before, sure." But look at the next sentence, or the next part of that sentence, "and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep." That doesn't mean that nobody else had fallen asleep before then. A lot of people had fallen asleep. And, you know, reading your Bible accurately, you know that some of those Old Testament prophets even brought, well, they didn't bring, but they were the instrument that God used to give life, physical life, to people again. They hadn't finished their physical life. The Father knew that. And so those Old Testament prophets had given them physical life once again. The life that Jesus received after he was resurrected by his Father was not physical life, it was spiritual life. It was a life that he had enjoyed for all eternity and times past. You know, one of the smart guys out there can tell you how long that is. I don't have any idea how long it was, but it was a long time that he had been around as a spirit being with his Father, and he was raised to that spiritual life once again. But now Christ has been risen from the dead. Now remember, the very first of the first fruits is called the wave sheaf. I don't know if I made that really clear before, but it is true. The very first of the first fruits is called the wave sheaf. That's why they had that old ceremony. Now let's go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. And I'll read two verses there. I'll read Colossians 1, verse 15 and 18. I'll leave out 16 and 17. But anyway, Colossians 1, verse 15, the writer of Colossians, the Apostle Paul, says, "He," that is Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, could have said first fruits, the firstborn over all creation. And then I want to read verse 18. Verse 18. "And he," that's Jesus again, "is the head of the body." We're part of the body. "He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." Do we understand? Do we understand that Jesus died and was resurrected to show us the way it will be? He died, was resurrected by his Father to show us what we can enjoy, experience, and that's really our destiny. Now, there's a scriptural proof, that occurred that morning, the morning after the evening when he was resurrected. We know he was resurrected at sundown, day before. But there was a miracle, I'll call it, that occurred that morning. And I have to tell it to you so that we can see that, you know, tie it all together. Okay. It takes about an hour to do this. If you're not going to give me an hour, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I know you don't want to give me an hour, but you can go on ucg.org. Doug Wendt went through this. I like his name. Doug Wendt went through this, and it took him about an hour, and I looked at that, and I went, I don't have an hour, Doug. You know, I'm talking to the television screen, but I got the gist of it, and that's what I'm going to give you. But I will read the scriptures, and I prayed about that this morning. Father, don't let me mess up. Okay, so let's go to John 20. Give you the scriptures that make a point. It's a really big point. John 20 verse 1 says, now the very first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb while early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then I want to skip down to verse 11. Give you a break. Verse 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the tomb. You know, she was crying, but you know. Anyway. She saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body had been laid. Then they said to her, the angels said to her, woman, why are you weeping? You know, that's the way angels talk. Woman, why are you weeping? What's the big deal? And they knew, but she didn't know squat. It's okay to say that word. It's not a bad word. She didn't really understand. Because, she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they laid him. You know, she. Okay, keep reading. Verse 14. Now when she had said this, she turned around, and she saw Jesus standing there. Whoa, what happened in between? There's something, you know. First time I heard this, a little over 50 years ago, the first time I heard this, I went, what? You know, there's four Gospels, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? You have to put them together. If you don't put them together, it doesn't make sense. I'm going to try to put them together. So I'm going to skip now to verse 14. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw somebody standing there. Okay, I understand that. She saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was him. She walks into the tomb. The angels, she has a conversation with the angels. They say, the guy is risen, the man, the Lord, the master has risen. And then all of a sudden he shows up. There's something missing in between. Can I ask you? I'm not going to ask him. He's a pretty smart guy. But most of you have heard this before. Do you remember what is missing between those scriptures? Okay, I see puzzled looks on your face. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I will continue on. I'm not going to give you the amazing answer yet. Verse 16, Jesus said to Mary, she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Okay, I got a little ahead of myself, didn't I? Do you remember where I got a little ahead of myself? Okay, she wouldn't let Jesus touch him then. She wouldn't let it, because why? He had not yet ascended to his Father and become the wave sheaf offering. But that's not in here yet, but it will be. Okay. This shows that Jesus did not allow himself to be delayed while ascending to his Father to be accepted as the wave sheaf. But after he had performed that duty, when he was not in such a big hurry, after he had been accepted in heaven as the wave sheaf, he had time to interact with friends, and I'll show you that by Matthew 28. This is where we have to flip over. Flip over to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 1. Why didn't they put all this in order, you know, for stupid people like me? But I've been going over this year by year by year, and Mr. Doug Went, I referred to him, he spends his time in an hour taking you there, and pretty good message. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, that's after the Sabbath, first day of the week, Sunday, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, why are they all named Mary, came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Eternal descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone. So it was done by an angel. It took about five Romans to move it from the door, and sat on it. You know, when angels are sitting on the stone, you don't mess with angels sitting on stones. You don't mess with angels just standing around. But, you know, sitting on the stone, nobody goes in unless the angel says, "Come on in." His countenance, this angel and his buddy, was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guard shook with fear and became like dead men after they ran away. We read that in another gospel, that they ran away like, Okay. But the angel answered or said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, as he said he would. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." Okay. And then another break, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I've told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear, but great joy, and ran to bring his disciples the word. Break. Break. You know, if this was Hollywood, there would be a commercial break right here. Well, it's not Hollywood, but we are going to have treats after a while. But this would be a commercial break time, because there's something significant that happens at this point. You don't understand it. I'm not pointing at you. I don't understand it either. But God operates outside of time and space. Now, if Jesus was leaving the earth, you know, where the guy had been crucified, and he was going to heaven, how far is that? You know, heaven's a real place. You know, I had maybe another dimension, but that's not the point. Say it's up there somewhere. It takes you a while to get up there somewhere, doesn't it? Yeah, it took us a little bit of time to get here today. It did take time. How long did it take Jesus to go the night before from the tomb when he was resurrected, to see his father and be accepted as the wave chief. Like, I tried to snap my fingers the other day and it didn't work, and so it was kind of wimpy, you know. But, you know, just think, it was done instantaneously. Jesus and the Father, the two God beings, they operate outside of space and time. So Jesus was able to get to heaven, be accepted as the wave chief, come back. Oh, let's finish this. Verse 9. And as they, the two women, went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, because he can be anywhere, anytime he wants to. Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came, and what did they do? They grabbed a hold of his feet. They grabbed him. They held him by his feet. Wait a minute, just a little bit earlier, and in our kind of time, it was literally just a little bit earlier, he said, don't touch me. I haven't ascended to my Father. So in between those, that time sequence to us, he had gone to the Father in heaven. He had been accepted as the wave chief. He had returned to earth. And now he said, yeah, go ahead and grab my feet. It's okay. It's me, Jesus. They held him by the feet. We need to understand God, and Jesus was also God, God's Son, God's first resurrected Son, and as Spirit, Jesus could move very far and very fast. So verse 10, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid, go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will all see me. Well, what are we supposed to do now? I know I'm supposed to sit down, but what are we supposed to do? It's a metaphorical expression. I mean, if we know this, if we know the truth, what are we supposed to do with it? Put it in our pocket. Don't tell anybody. Keep it secret. I don't mean go out and stand on the corner and preach. I don't mean that. But if somebody asks you, in all the time that I've been in San Diego, maybe two or three people in 52 years have sincerely asked a question and wanted to hear the answer. If they do, you, and remember I'm pointing at me, should be able to answer them. I've heard this thing. I've heard this given many times before. But it didn't really stick. It didn't make as much sense. Anyway, almost done. We physical people are still here and living. We're not done yet. One last verse. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. I read it before, but I want to read it for the second and final time. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, it says, now Christ is risen from the dead. And we can all really rejoice in that. And he's become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. We were secondary first fruits. Jesus is the wave chief, the first of the first fruits. Our time will come.